Hello, I'm Dan.
And I'm Brent.
Welcome to The Journey. We are picking up from the last podcast where we were talking about God revealing to yourself who you really are. And we left off with Brent talking about the water, glass of water, how I emptied it out and went over and got a, filled the glass up with some cool, fresh water. This part of the process is to empty you, like Brent said. Empty you out. You know who will hinder you from serving God more than anybody else?
You will.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And what will hinder you, the reason why God does this, is after you realize who you really are, you realize that there's nothing that you can do. You can't change yourself.
Nowhere to run.
Yeah. You're in the desert. Where are you going?
Yeah.
You're exposed everywhere you go. And see, what Father does here, he wants you to understand that he loves you in spite of you. And here's the other point. I hear preachers say this, but I want to tack on to it. We've said it ourselves. If there was only one person to be saved, Christ would go on that cross. Regardless of who they are and how they see themselves.
Well, that's it. I mean, what he shows you in this time, he's been seeing it since day one.
Absolutely.
But he loves you enough that he's come back to walk you through it.
Now, why is it that he sees you that way?
Well,
we've talked about this before. He sees you from his perspective.
Exactly.
From a heavenly perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get to kingdom in these podcasts, you'll understand more of what we're saying. But what he's doing, this is all preparation. Preparation. Yeah. I mentioned in the prior podcast about Andrew Murray's book, Humility. The only message that Jesus repeatedly preached, and the church makes it about the cross.
Exactly.
Every church you can go in, you can hear the message of the cross preached. And I'm not taking away anything from the cross. Without the cross, none of this would be possible.
Right.
I understand that.
Jesus is the doorway.
He is. He said, and he stands at the door and knocks.
Yeah.
But what about when you get through the door?
There's more.
There's a lot more.
And it's not making the old man better.
No.
By do's and don'ts.
That's right. And you know what's funny about this? You're out in the desert. You've been isolated. And in this process, at the end of the isolation, then you go through feeling bad because God reveals to you that he knows your innermost being. He knows your likes, your dislikes, your hatreds, your prejudice. He knows all that. Yet he still chooses to take you on this journey and walk with you side by side.
Because he knows we can't do it on our own anyway.
That's right. And he never leaves us. But this is part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
The calling out, like we talked about with the potter and the razor blade and going inside that vessel. And look here, if anything else comes out of this, at least you're able to face that which you don't like about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny it. You going to tell God he's a liar? Because he's going to show you everything. But I want to stop there just for a moment because I want to try to paint a picture, and I have to give this credit to Wayne Jacobson. And I hope, Wayne, I'm sorry that I tell the story somewhat like you told it. What we don't understand is the love that God has for us and how he sees us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you started dating that young lady when you were in school, man, you looked at her, you just loved everything about her.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see any faults. And you didn't see them until she pointed them out to you.
Right.
All you saw was the most beautiful young lady in the world, and you wanted her to be your girlfriend. You remember those days.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's how Christ sees us, but a million times more. He's so in love with us. So why would a Savior that's so in love with us put us in a position to see us for who we really are?
To change us.
To change us. That's right.
Yeah, it's a purifying. It's the. It's one of the steps to purification.
Well, what in AA, what they, what is one of the things they say, the first, one of the ways are, I can't get this right, words won't come out of my mouth right, but the first step to recovery is realizing that you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, once you understand it and confess that you're an alcoholic, half the problem is over. Now you just fight the battle.
Right.
But you got to see it first.
And that,
you got to understand it.
And it has to be exposed.
Right.
And that's where the scripture says what's done in the dark will be brought to the light.
So this is kind of like a godly intervention.
Oh, absolutely. He's saving you from yourself.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly true. Yeah.
But here's what happens on that, because we're going to spend the rest of this podcast. Now, I'm talking to you who are in this place right now. You've been really beat up and battered over the fact that God exposed everything about you that you wanted to keep hidden. Mm-hmm. He's brought it to the light. You know, you're thinking, man, this is it. This is it. Yes, it is it. Because here's the next thing that he does. When you lay that on the altar before him, mm-hmm. Lord, I can't do anything about who I am, but be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Father, reveal to me who I am. When you offer yourself up, and those things that he reveals to you, you offer up to him, then he takes it away.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gives you purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the understanding that Father loves me in spite of who I am.
Right.
Regardless of what I do, he still loves me.
And that's where it turns around a little, isn't it?
Oh, man. Yeah, because then it changes your whole perspective about how you live.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to purpose to be a certain way. Society doesn't have to tell you how to act and what to do and how you should be and how you should treat others.
Well, you said something right there. Just be.
Absolutely.
It makes it so much easier to just be.
And let's go into that just for a moment, if we could, because that's where you are now. It's no different than you going, let's say I called you in, Brent, and let's say you were an engineer, and I'm a major corporation that's looking for a new engineer. And so you go through the process of getting the interview. First thing you're going to have to do is sit and wait. You're in a waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
All you can do is just sit there until you're called.
Mm-hmm.
So all you're doing is being. And God, now that he's called this out, now that he's revealed it, now that you confessed it, and now that you cried over it, and then you've asked Father to take it, you have relinquished that which was exposed to you. And now you're starting on an even footing. Because, you know, the Bible says he cast your sins as far as the east is from the west and remembers them no more.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the actions of what you do. But this process is to change who you are. So how does that take place? That takes place through humility. When you realize that you're nothing. And see, that's what Jesus, he said, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, you have to be the least.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a King of Kings, Lord of Lords, washing his disciples' feet. That was so unheard of. A king does not do that. He has his feet washed.
Right.
And the one time that, if you want to call them washed, was when a bottle of perfume was poured on them. Here's the master that served his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that because he loved them.
And full of humility.
Full of humility. That's what's supposed to come out of this self analysis, that you're nothing.
Right.
In spite of your nothingness, Father still loves you. And then what he did for me, that time, that feeling that I had, that worthlessness, he took away. And then I'm in a holding or a B pattern. I'm just being. I've went through it. I'm isolated. I'm out here. God calls me out of this, what I was really like to do. Felt really good. He pulls me out. I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. No friends. No one to talk to. No one to fellowship with. And then I discover the real relationship that I have with him. And it's going good. And I'm still isolated. And then he shows me who I really am. And I don't even like who I am.
Mm.
And it just tore me up, man. And I said, Father, I'm sorry. I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then he spoke to him and he said, I'm going to show you who you really are.
Hmm.
And that's how he sees us.
Yeah, it's from his perspective.
But it caused me to empty myself out from myself, of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is, and I liked where you hit on it, it was a key word you used. At that point, then we become an empty vessel to be used by Father.
There you go. Now he can start filling us up with the things that rightfully so are supposed to be there.
Absolutely. And so let's backpedal a minute. We did call to the wilderness, isolation. He shows us who we are. And then he shows us his love.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're walking out of that time period.
Mm-hmm.
Then what he does, he fills us with his love.
Mm-hmm.
And then we no longer have to worry about the exposure. Because that's the process when God's going to start making changes, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he does that in many ways. With me, he told me, he said, you need to forget everything you've been taught. Because now I will teach you.
Yeah, that debriefing process.
Oh, man.
We've been through that, haven't
we? Oh. And you know what's interesting? Let me say this for our listeners. Your philosophy changes over time, right?
Yep.
I hate to use this word, but I will. Your doctrine even changes over time as Father reveals to you the Word. I'll give you an example. Brett and I have been reading about this and studying it, and I've always heard it. What's ever bound on earth would be bound in heaven. What's bound in heaven will be bound on earth.
Mm.
So you have all these Pentecostal preachers going and praying for healing for these people, and they're quoting that scripture back to God like he doesn't know it. Oh, really? That's in there? That's what God's telling the preacher. You're kidding me. That's in the book. They're either talking to God or they're talking to the devil, but then the healing don't come.
Right.
That verse didn't apply to that.
Right.
It was talking about what was bound in heaven. What is bound in heaven? Who we are.
Right.
What's bound in heaven's bound here on earth. The relationship that we have with him in heaven, we have on earth. We are one with him. We have a relationship, and that's what I loved about the shack.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear that word used over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's true. You come out of this, you come out of the self-loathing stage, and now God is starting to show you the relationship
mm-hmm.
that he has with you, that he wants with you, and that you will have with him.
Mm-hmm.
The process has now started.
Yeah.
Because he strips away the pride. You know, and I got this out of the book, one of the many great things that I got out of Andrew Murray's book. The fastest way to get out of this stage is to come to the realization that you're nothing and God's everything.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, you can do nothing. Are you codependent? Absolutely. You can't do anything without him. Scripture says he gives you your breath. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows your, what's your phrase you use, Brent? Tomb day and...
Oh, he knew our womb day. He knew our tomb day. And he's come back to walk us through it. I saw something on a church billboard once that made a lot of sense, and it would apply for what we're talking about here. If you've made God your co-pilot, swap seats.
I've got this, God. You just sit back and take a break.
Yeah, you're with me. Really?
You know, really, it's like you're functioning like Bruce Almighty.
Mm-hmm. And it's a time of emptying ourselves out, knowing we can't do it on our own. We can't do it without his help. And it might be better. The plane might fly a little straighter if we put him as the pilot.
Well, and think about this. You just come out of that stage, and then you come to the realization of the love relationship you really have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of a burden. It's not one of a have to. It's a true love relationship from a heavenly father to a child.
Mm-hmm.
That is so awesome. It's not about the do's. It's not about the don'ts. It's not about the wills or the wants. It's simply a love relationship. That's all he ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, now you're feeling the love because he's going to take that away. And then you feel a peace. I know I've shared this before. I have a continual peace in my heart 24/7. I never have to question whether God loves me because I know he does. Not because the Bible tells me so.
Right.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible.
That's some good singing there.
Yes, it is. But Jesus needs to be the one telling you.
Exactly.
He loves you. And yeah. He does.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if you're not hearing it, it's not because he's not telling it.
Yeah.
And maybe you're out here in the middle of this desert because that's the only place God could get you so he could tell you that he loves you.
Mm.
Because you couldn't hear him where you were.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't hear him from all the, hey man, that's right, brother, you preach it. Yes, brother, I'll be glad to teach that class. Yes, brother, I'd be glad to go visitation on Saturday when I need to be at home taking care of my children. I'll put that off on the wife. It'll be okay. I'll come with you and share the love of Jesus.
So busy in the kingdom, we're no earthly good?
Yeah, go for it, Martha.
Uh-huh.
Go for it.
How's that working for you?
God's establishing a love relationship. That's all he ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And see, what you need to understand now, because if you're in this place, is this. You move, you do, because of the relationship. It's not purposed.
Right.
It just happens.
Yeah.
You know, I ask couples all the time, they'll tell me, I've had people that don't understand this, and so this is the easiest way I can boil it down. I asked this one guy, I said, do you love your wife? He said, I surely do. I said, do you do things for her? He said, yes, sir. I said, does she have to ask you? He said, sometimes, but if my intuition is right and I see something needs to be done, I'll do it for her. I said, do you every once in a while take her out on a date and buy her nice flowers and buy her a nice meal? He said, yeah. I said, did your daddy have to call you and say, son, you need to take your wife out for a nice meal and a movie? He said, well, no. I said, why did you do it? He said, because I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And that is works. So that's works produced out of a relationship.
Right.
They didn't happen because they had to.
Right.
And here's the difference. Now, listen to this. I was talking to a divorce lawyer one time, and we were talking about people that cheat. And Brent, this is what he told me. He said, do it once is a mistake. Do it twice is a habit.
Mm.
Now, if you have to purpose to do something for somebody, you're purposing for the wrong reason. It's not based out of love. You do things at work because it's expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's required of you in order to fulfill the position that you're filling.
Right. It's a duty.
Yeah, that's not a love relationship. That's a work relationship. And it's like, I'll say it on this podcast again. This one woman was telling me how much she loved this evangelist. I said, well, why do you love that evangelist? Oh, he tells me how much Jesus loves me.
Okay.
I said, boy, that's sad. She said, why is that sad? I said, because if I had to tell you how much your husband loved you, what kind of relationship marriage would you have?
Yeah.
You wouldn't.
That's right.
You know, the only substitute is a letter when a person can't be there. We're going to take just a brief break, and we will be right back. Are you feeling tired of paying too much for your car insurance? Does it seem like the money's always going a different place? It doesn't have to. Just don't pay your insurance. Well, you know, Brent, I thought a little humor would open that up for our monologue back in.
There you go.
All right. Sorry about that, folks. I had to pull off for a moment there. Had some folks come up to the studio, wanted to talk to us a little bit. But we're getting back to the relationship. And I shared earlier in this podcast about the woman and understanding that Jesus loves us and he tells us. Mm-hmm. Now, understand this, that you're in this place now. You should get to a point where you can feel his presence. In your spirit, you can feel him and hear him telling you that he loves you. God tells you he loves you through a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, through people, through friends, through the love of an animal, through his Holy Spirit comforting your heart, your soul. And so being where you are now, you're ready. You're at the point, you've come out of that self-loathing because of the exposure of yourself to you, and now your feet are firmly planted and you're empty.
Mm-hmm.
Just think how long it took to fill you up.
Yeah.
So the process of emptying you will be a lot shorter than it took for you to get filled up
mm-hmm.
with the world's knowledge.
Seems like forever.
It does. Man, it was the longest time for me from the point I started the journey into the wilderness and then to get back on the other side to get where I am now. That was 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the journey didn't, I mean, the wilderness didn't last 6 years. It lasted about 6 months. And the isolation is part of that first stage. Then the exposure of myself from God's perspective sees me how I really am. We mentioned this earlier, but then he reveals to you how he sees you.
Mm.
And that's, it's hard to talk about because that revelation is part of his love for you, part of how he sees you from a heavenly perspective. And it's just nothing but goodness, because when you come out of that, after God brings you up out of that, now let me give a scripture passage that will help you. You may think, and I don't know that this verse wasn't written for this very moment, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. No, that's not it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you don't have any understanding. But I'm trying to think of the verse where he said, he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Many shall see, hear, and trust in the Lord. And that's what he's doing. He's bringing us out of this experience. He's bringing us and establishing us,
mm-hmm.
setting our feet upon the solid rock and establishing our goings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a wonderful time. It's an emptying time.
Mm-hmm.
But for the first time, we're emptied. We're an empty vessel to receive.
Fit for the master's use now.
Absolutely. And then, let me ask you this question. I've done quite a bit of talking. After you got through that, were you able to hear Father a lot clearer than you had previously?
Mm-hmm.
What was different?
Well, I think some of it comes from that. I think it all weighs together. The wilderness, where you're by yourself with him, no other voices around. You know, the isolation, you know, the same thing. You don't have a lot of voices when you're concentrating on him. I don't know, I think maybe just being empty and making more room for him opens up the channel of communication, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. Here's the other thing I want to talk about. It goes right along with what you're saying. From the point you enter the wilderness to the point of the self-analysis, he changes your vision. He changes your hearing. And he changes your perspective.
Yeah, that's true.
You have a different outlook from that point on. And because here's why. Because you're going to gain confidence in Father. Because it's a personal relationship. You know, we spoke earlier before the momentary break in the car commercial about a relationship. And then in days gone, you know, I remember when I was dating, when I was a teenager, that's back in the Stone Age, when you didn't have internet, I didn't have a cell phone. My parents wouldn't let me call my girlfriend. I lived in Clinton and she lived in Sharon. So we had to send letters. And what I liked about her letters, I got two letters a week and she got two letters a week when we couldn't be together. She would spray her letters with her perfume. And when I get it out of the mailbox, oh, that reminded me of her.
Her presence was wrapped in the envelope.
Well, all that letter is, all that Bible is a letter, love letter.
It's a love letter, yeah.
Between God and you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to take the place of the relationship.
Right.
It's a reminder of the relationship. Reason why you can send letters is because you have some type of relationship between you and the person you're sending the letters to. When's the last time you sent hate letters to somebody you didn't like? No, we just go on topics now. If I want to talk bad about you, I go on topics for Greenfield, and then I say what I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, and see, even that's, they like that anonymity because they don't have to use their real name.
Well, they can hide behind the keyboard.
Right, absolutely. But here's, and you bring up a great point. God's relationship, he doesn't want you to hide behind anything with him.
Right.
Come before him as you are. We are exposed to God.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody uses that word exposure so wrong. I was a cop. I understand the term exposure, indecent exposure. But I'm saying, when we go, here's, if you don't get anything out of this podcast, understand this reality. God sees every bit of you inside and out. He knows us.
Mm-hmm.
He's known us.
He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Absolutely. How else could, when the devil goes before God and God says, have you considered?
Right.
He even knew what the devil was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And but that knowing, and people who are on the journey, I believe this for the most part. At least I can say that I am, and I think you can. You. This will really appeal to women when I say this. I'm comfortable in my skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a child of the King. I'm a servant. I have no pride. And you've known me, Brent, and people that know me will tell you, I'm not arrogant.
Right.
You know, I'm a musician. I'm an okay musician. I'm okay. I'm better than some and worse than others.
Right, yeah.
There's no attitude here because God took that. Mm-hmm. And on the journey, he's going to take the pride, is he not?
Yeah.
That belongs to him, like you shared with a Graham. You know, Father paid the price. Christ paid the price on the cross. Mm-hmm. And the things that he reveals to you about who you are, here's why he reveals them. Because they don't belong to you. They're his possessions.
Right.
He wants them
back. He
bought
and paid for them.
He wants them.
Yeah.
By you holding on to them, you're not letting him have what's rightfully his.
Right.
You remember the old Western, the good, the bad, and ugly?
Mm-hmm.
All of that's his. It has his seal of it, of approval on it. Not that he approves of your bad, but he paid for it.
Yeah.
The Bible says you were bought with a price.
Mm-hmm.
It's his ownership, not yours. We have to relinquish ownership.
We've got to let go.
And pride is one of those things that fit into that. Folks, we appreciate you listening in. Brent, any closing remarks before we close this podcast out?
No, nothing. I mean, I think we pretty much covered this segment.
I think we have too. So I want to encourage you one last time. It's going to get better. Here's what will keep it from moving forward. This is a journey. If you don't go anywhere, you're not on a journey.
Yeah,
right?
Running, sitting, idling, you're not going anywhere.
You know, if your car is parked on a freeway, you can't say, I'm driving on the freeway.
Right.
Okay? It's parked on the freeway. Bad place to be parked, but
mm-hmm.
or bad place to park, rather. But I want to tell you this. If you want to move out of this, first off, like Brent said, just be. Take in what Father gives you. Listen to him. He will guide you through this. There is a brighter tomorrow. You will move through this phase, and you will come out victorious and with joy. How that happens, anything that Father brings before you, lay it at his feet,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is. Say, Father, I know I feel this way. Lord, I'm giving it to you. I don't want to keep it anymore. And he reveals it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He shows you. And then it's no different. It's no different. I picture my girls when they were little bitty. And they would run in the evening time and they would want to get in daddy's lap. And they would get up there and they would snuggle with me. And I just loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same love that Father has with us. But because he's daddy, we're at a point that he has to get us ready. Because there's so much coming. Is there not, Brother
Yeah,
Brent?
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot coming. And the last thing I want to close out with, I know we're going over a little bit. Folks, this is not, and I repeat, this is not Kingdom Now theology that we're sharing.
Important.
We're totally different from that because we don't adhere to anything that group teaches. We're sharing with you what Father's revealed to us. What Father's revealed to us does not require any sacrificing of animals.
That's right.
Or setting aside X amount of dollars to give to a temple or something like that, you know. But this is not Kingdom Now teaching.
Yeah, there is a teaching out there called Kingdom Now. And there's so many things that are so far from the truth that it's just dangerous.
It really is.
And we are kids in the kingdom under a wonderful Father who loves us.
Right.
And so there, in the future podcasts, we'll go into more of the kingdom. But I'm glad you made that known up front.
I wanted to, because, and the other reason why, folks, because after we finish with these series of podcasts, we will be going into teaching on the kingdom, which has been grossly overlooked.
Boy, has it.
We want to do a podcast, a couple probably, on humility. That's one of the things, the first and foremost thing that you have to understand before you can even understand who you are in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things, Brent, that I have heard in my ministry in the institution, I heard the least preached. Mm-hmm. They mentioned it, but Jesus was always preaching it.
That's right.
Now, I will close out with this, so y'all don't think that we're prejudicing against some faiths. The teaching of salvation, is it essential? Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
The salvation message Jesus shared with one man named Nicodemus.
Nicodemus, late at night.
Yes, it was in private. Mm-hmm. Now, we get from Paul the salvation message. The salvation message is the first and foremost message. Mm-hmm. Without receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the concepts that we're sharing with you will be foreign to you because you don't know Him. So if you're listening tonight and you've never come to the realization that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's just, it's not saying a set of words. It's believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And that He died on the cross for our sins. That's it. That's simple enough.
Yeah.
But salvation is important. You can't get into the kingdom.
Right.
Without salvation. But folks, we don't stop there. That's where most folks stop.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's so much more.
Yeah, and it really opens up a whole new set of glasses to read the love letter, doesn't it?
John Conley wrote a song called Rose Color, or sung a song called Rose Color Glasses. And you're right, there's many glasses. And we see, we read the scripture with doctrinal lenses. Mm-hmm. Based upon where you grew up, who your mama, daddy was, where you went to church will determine how you view scripture. Mm. And I close with this, because we're out of time. God on the journey changes all of that, does He not?
Yeah.
Every day I'm changing on something, because God's still taking that scalpel, Brent, and cutting that clay. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this, the main thing is, the only thing is relationship.
Yeah.
Everything else falls into place, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Hey, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. And if you didn't like the commercial, I apologize. We're just trying to have a little laughter here. And we're trying to break up the monotony for those who listen just for ridicule purposes. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Listen, God bless you. Have a good week. I'm Dan.
And I'm Brent.
Thank you for listening to The Journey.